Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Gravity Leadership is a community of people seeking to live our lives in the orienting center of God's love in the midst of our post-Christian world, learning to lead like Jesus, live on mission, and make disciples. In nature, gravity is the phenomenon that brings stuff together, objects as small as atoms and quarks and as large as stars and galaxies. We believe the gravity of the Christian life is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The Gravity Leadership Podcast is curated conversations on what it looks like to practically orient our lives and our leadership in the love of Christ, the gravity that holds everything together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. My name is Ben Sternke. I'm one of the co-founders of Gravity Leadership, and today I am joined by Ben Hardman, who is a co-founder of Gravity Leadership, who's calling in from Charlotte today, right?
Charlotte, North Carolina, buddy.
Yeah. And
very exciting.
And part of what Ben is doing there is visiting one of our coaches, Justin Wallace, who's also with us from Charlotte. Say hi,
How's
Justin.
How's it going?
We're going to give Justin a chance to introduce himself here in just a little bit. But today on the podcast, we're going to do a little bit of a follow-up from last week's podcast where we had a conversation with Brian Zond and we talked with him about his journey of theological deconstruction and kind of reconstruction and how that affected his relationship with his church, and gave some great advice to leaders who are trying to navigate those waters. By the way, right at the end of that podcast, Matt and I were talking about, we were hoping to be able to go to the Water to Wine gathering June 28th through 30th, and it now looks like that is going to be possible for us. And so if you're planning to go to the Water to Wine gathering June 28th through 30th, Matt and I will see you there. And if you're not planning to go, maybe you want to think about going. I'm excited to be there. Brian Zond's going to be there. Brad Jerzak, Derek Vreeland, quite a few others. Just talking about this journey that we want to talk a little bit about today with Justin, with Ben Hardman. So, yeah, to set up this conversation, sorry, I got to put my computer on do not disturb. Just got a little text there. Okay, good. All right, I think we're good. So to set up this conversation, I think this issue of going through deconstruction, of kind of changing the theological paradigm we're operating out of, it can be really disorienting, especially if you're a leader who is going through this at what seems like a different pace than the congregation that you're leading or the people that you're leading. And so I wanted to share today, I guess, I'd love to hear some stories from you guys about what you've learned about this, about some of what your journey's been like, because I think a lot of our listeners are on a similar journey, are experiencing similar kinds of deconstruction, reconstruction, the need, they're asking all kinds of different questions. Can I still be at this church? What does this mean for my faith? Yeah, it can be heady times for people.
Yeah, very, very challenging. And it's something that, Ben, I think we're running into over and over and over again. I think it's one of the common characteristics of a lot of the pastors and leaders we're coming across, is there is some level of deconstruction or disorientation that's happening right now. And
yes.
And I think it's a really important question to talk about. What do we do in that space? Like, how do we live and operate in that space?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's a really important thing. Justin, I wonder if we could hear from you a little bit. First of all, just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and let the listeners know where you're at. And then, yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit of your story of deconstruction or disorientation, however we want to put that.
Yeah. So my name's Justin Wallace, and I lead a church called One Life Church in Concord, North Carolina, which is just outside of Charlotte. I've been with One Life for a couple of years now. Before that, I led a church of college students at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And My story of disorientation and deconstruction probably goes back a few years now. Whenever I first started in full-time ministry right out of college, I ran into some very unhealthy church structures and church leadership. Was fired twice from two different places.
Attaboy.
Yeah. So.
I was going to say, if you got fired twice from the same place, that would be truly a feat to be admired.
I did my best after the first firing. I begged for my job back, but they said no. So,
okay.
Which is probably grace in some way. But yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of our listeners and a lot of people that are part of our cohorts can relate to that. And that really began my journey of disorientation. Because I became very disoriented with the church. It took me down a very dark road, a very heavy road, a lot of questions, a lot of doubts. I was very confident that God had called me into ministry. And in that season, I questioned whether or not I wanted even to follow that call, if I wanted to live that out anymore. I would say for the next 5 or 6 years, I was in a place of disorientation. It led to a conversation with a friend of mine where we were sitting and I was casting vision for the ministry we were starting with college students. And all of my language was what I didn't want to be, you know, that's how right. I described everything. Mm-hmm. And he just looked at me and said, I hear what you don't want to be, but do you have any idea what you want to be? And it was just a moment of me realizing that I was experiencing a lot of shifts. I was trying to wrap my mind around what Jesus was calling us to as a church, the vision that he had cast for it, the dream that he had for it. I lived in that space for a very, very long time. And a lot of people couldn't understand it, you know, like when I heard you talk about when the congregation is moving at a different pace, I can feel that. I felt that from more than just my congregation. I felt it from multiple congregations, from financial supporters, from family, and so it was painful. It was very lonely, and I swore that the church was my Egypt in that time, and I would never go back. I remember even using that language with Ben Hardman, like, I'm not going back to it. It's my Egypt. I'm not going back to slavery. And that's what it felt like at that time of disorientation. It's been really cool to watch as God has healed that and has brought me into a place of reorientation and giving me a new picture. So,
yeah, I don't really want to, yeah, it is. Mm. It is. I don't want to gloss over that too quickly though. Cause one of the things I'm hearing in your story, Justin, is that, you know, even though your friend was asking you, like, I hear a lot of what you don't want to be. What do you want to be? And I can remember something similar happening to me, you know, in my journey of kind of deconstruction and disillusionment, disorientation. I knew a lot more about what I didn't want to do than what I did want to do. But looking back, I think it was important for me to go through. I think my temptation was to think of that season a little bit shamefully, like, oh man, I'm just all I know is what I don't want to be. And so am I just complaining here, or like, what's going on? But I feel like it's actually really important to be able to have a space to name those things, right? To be able to be in deconstruction, to be disillusioned. And to be able to be in that space at least for a while, so that you can really kind of disconnect from that which you are trying to disconnect from. Would you guys agree?
I think it's really important for us to be able to name what we don't want to be in the middle of that disorientation. I think the challenge is we're tempted to stay there forever. So what happens is we stay in this space of the angry, disoriented prophet who just kind of wants to cast stones at everything rather than developing a new imagination. Walter Brueggemann, when he talks about the prophetic voice, he talks about it's all about critique and imagination. And what happens oftentimes, particularly I see in a lot of young pastors, is we become disoriented And we live in this kind of deconstructionist phase where all we want to do is critique, but we don't have a healthy imagination for what could be. And so what I'm seeing is the disorienting factor, or the thing that is causing this deconstruction, is the kind of the methods and policies, procedures, actions, power and leadership structures of the American church. But the reorienting factor is always Jesus. And so there is a return to, can ministry be good? Can we lead in the church and lead like Jesus? Can all of these things take place? And at Gravity Leadership, we absolutely believe that that's possible.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that you need a safe place. You know, I think a couple things. One is a safe place, safe people that you can trust, and that you can articulate what you're experiencing and what you're walking through. I think that's really, really important. And I had some of those people. There weren't very many, which then leads to my second thought, and that is when Jesus talks about don't throw pearls to pigs. I think this is where disorientation and deconstruction can become unhealthy, is when we want everyone to be experiencing the same thing we're experiencing, you know? So we get up on a stage and we're literally throwing pearls to pigs. It's like, we're trying to drag everyone else into our journey, and God may not have them in that place. And so I need a safe place, a safe group of people to be walking through this. But then I also need to be mindful and careful of the language that I'm using, and that I'm not guilt tripping people because they're not experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing.
Yes. Yeah. And that's some of what Brian said last week on the podcast, that they're like, your pulpit is not the place to work out your theology.
Yes.
You know, it's not the place to like beat people over the head, you know, or try to work something out. And so, having a community or a safe place to be able to kind of talk about that stuff without the, you know, whatever else might come with it, you know, the judgment or the concern, you know, that kind of a thing, that there can be that's a really important factor, what I'm hearing you guys say.
Can I give an example?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So whenever I was going through this back in, it was probably 2004, 2005, 2006, my audience was college students. And so it's easy to get a group of college students riled up about something. And so a lot of my language was, this is what we don't want to be. This is what we don't want to be. I brought a lot of college students into a place of disorientation before they were ready for that.
Mm.
If you fast forward to now, I've been kind of going through, and this is another thing, there's always different things that we're going through disorientation, different topics, where we're deconstructing what we believed previously, and as God is giving us a new imagination for what he's calling us to. So I'm kind of in that place now with women in ministry. Growing up, I grew up in a tradition that women couldn't be ordained, that women couldn't preach. And so over the past couple of years, God has been taking me through this deconstructing of that theology and of those thoughts. But I have at our church at One Life, we have a new elder who believes very firmly that ministry is supposed to be for men only. And him and I can lead our church together. I don't have to expect him to be deconstructing at the same time and the same pace that I am.
Hmm.
And so I feel like I've matured in that I can sit at the same table as him. Whereas 10, 12 years ago, there's no way I could have done that. I would have shamed him for not experiencing it at the same pace that I'm experiencing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's really good. I think our discourse is so dysfunctional in so many of these areas. Once we go through our own deconstruction, then we believe that we are enlightened and other people aren't. So we love to go to the Twitter machine and drop bombs on everybody. And it just creates a polarized, a non-peacemaking, an anxious presence in our lives. And we're tempted to never give grace to the people who have not deconstructed or have not thought through these things with the same level of seriousness that we have. And so it's easy to throw stones. And so what I see often in this stage is we've got churches that are killing their prophets, right? We've got churches that are saying, like, we don't need that voice. We don't want that voice. And they're not, there's, let's just be honest. There's certain places where it's not a safe place to be deconstructing, and it's not a safe place to ask questions. And if you're in that situation, that might be a situation where you need to look for another tribe, or at least need to look for some friends that are healthy friends to walk through. But we also have prophets that are running from the church, right? So we've just got prophets that are exiting the church at a rapid pace. And I think both of those postures are dysfunctional. Yeah. And so I do think as you're going through this season of disorientation, you've got to have friends that you can walk with and that you can journey with. You've got to have a safe place to process that. Are we allowed to say, Sternkey, that, like, if you don't have that, we will be your friends? We would love to journey with you. In fact, a lot of the people that we're coaching and training, I think, are entering into this deconstructionist phase and don't quite know what to do with it. And so what we're able to do is come alongside of them and serve them and love them and give them space to ask questions and bring to them whatever wisdom that we have. And try and, empower them or lay down what we have for them.
And we're not, and Gravity's not in the business of bad mouthing the church. So I have several people that have been in my past cohorts and my current one who are going through this. And just so we're all clear, like, at Gravity, we are a huge, fan of the church. And so I am encouraging these people to be walking through this process within the church, and that the church is beautiful. And so I just think that's what is so unique about what we're trying to do at Gravity is we want to give people a safe place, but we're also saying, like, let's reimagine what the church is supposed to be and what Jesus has called us to.
So I'm hearing a couple themes here. I just want to, like, recapitulate some of these things. So deconstruction is this thing, it feels like it comes upon us, right? It does. We don't choose, it's not like, I think I'm going to deconstruct my theology next year. We don't plan it. It's not like I'm going to go get a master's degree.
You don't put it on your calendar,
right? You don't put it on your calendar.
It's after spring break. I feel like I've got a free week there.
So we can't kind of go away and do it. It sort of comes upon us unbidden. There's just life circumstances, or it can be all kinds of things that trigger a deconstruction. And in our first podcast episode, where Hardman and Matt and I were talking about some of our own journey in ministry, a lot of it for us was failure. So the failure of the thing that was supposed to work can trigger a deconstruction. So it's this thing that sort of comes upon you that you have to deal with. I'm hearing themes that this is dangerous. It's actually dangerous in a sense, because, there's all these pitfalls where we can become an angry prophet. We can be critical without, ever getting to the place where we can reimagine anything or speak with any kind of positivity. We can become, we can demand that everybody else see things the way that we see them, all of those kinds of things. So it's necessary to be in a community where people can, I found it really healing to have somebody tell me, hey, this is what I experienced. Is that messed up? Say, yes, it's messed up. It is. It's wrong. It should not have happened. Yes. It's no good. It's not of God. And to hear that was so healing for me, to realize, okay, this, that's why it hurts. That's why it feels bad. It's not of God. And so having that community around us is necessary. And then because there's this reintegration, there's this reorientation that is the end goal of this process. After disorientation comes reorientation. And earlier, Hardman, you said that the reorientation happens around Jesus, but part of our theology is that that means you get the church too. Jesus tied himself to the church. That's what Pentecost is all about. Jesus said, I'm pouring out my spirit. It's the spirit of Jesus. The church, in a way, is the continuing incarnation, if I can put it that way, of Jesus in the world. And so it's literally impossible to try to have Jesus without the church in a theological sense. So, Justin, I'd love to hear. I don't know if there's details to that story for you. I mean, you said that the church was your Egypt. You swore, "I'm never going back." You know, that's slavery. That's bondage. I'm not going back there. But now you're pastoring a church. So yeah. What happened?
Yeah, I planted a college ministry in a place of disorientation, and it was safe. It was a safe place. I needed that. I needed a place where it didn't feel like I was always running into a burning building, I guess. So a couple of years ago, a friend of mine came to me and said, and I had offers before of, "Hey, come serve at our church." And I always said no, because I just wasn't going to put my family through that. I have kids now. I don't want to ruin my kids' view of the church by putting them in a situation where I end up getting fired and my kids are, you know, they experience the shrapnel of it.
Yeah.
And so when my friend came to me and said, "Hey, I feel like God's calling me away from this place and I would love for you to take over for me." I knew some things about that church, that it was a safe place. We had some friends there that were on staff. And so, it was kind of a moment of, it was a moment of stepping into an unknown for me. It was a moment where God was saying, "I've prepared you for this. And I've prepared these people for you." And it was really a turning point of, this is what the reorientation, this is the resurrection of all the things that you've experienced up to this point. And it was a difficult decision. There was a lot of, all the way up until the day, you know, like, that I even beyond the day that I took over as the lead pastor of this church, there were so many lies coming through my head, like, "Man, I'm going to get eaten alive. I'm going to experience what I experienced before." There would be a text message from an elder and I would instantly have flashbacks of saying, "Oh no, this is the moment."
Yeah.
And so these past 2 years have been the reorientation. So what I would say is, reorientation isn't an overnight thing. You don't wake up one day and say, "Oh man, I've got it all back put together and it's all new." And it's a process. It takes time. It's putting one foot in front of another. It's learning how to trust people. It's learning how to trust that God is the one that's calling you forward. Yes. And so I've been experiencing that. I think I'm in it, to be honest. I think I'm in it, and I'm breathing in new life of what, and I'm at an amazing church with an amazing people. And so that helps a lot as well.
Yeah.
Well, and there's so much, I think, for every pastor that's been in ministry for any extended season of time, there are wounds.
Right.
And the question is not, are we going to be wounded? The question is, what are we going to do with those wounds? Are we going to allow those wounds to lead us? Or are we going to allow those wounds to be redeemed? And are we going to surrender those wounds to the Father and say, "Could you work with me in that space?" So one of the frameworks we use to talk about this is, it's Brueggemann in language, but it's this idea of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's people's orientation was Egypt, mm-hmm. right? That's what they knew. It's the only life they understood. It was slavery. That was the thing that they understood. Disorientation came in the desert. And so there's this journey through the desert. And it's so interesting as you look at the Old Testament, how many journeys there are through the desert, which is, I think, figurative and literal, right? There's this journey that all of us have to take in order to get to the promised land, which is our reorientation. Mm-hmm. And the good news is you don't get the promised land without the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a pain-averse culture. We're a wound-averse culture. We want to run from our hurt and from our pain rather than sit with them and allow God to sit with us in that space and allow God to meet us in that reality. And so there is a beautiful thing that happens when we journey through the desert to get to the promised land, because what begins to happen is we surrender what we've experienced in the past to the Father, allow Him to bring healing to us, and then allow Him to give us a new imagination for what could be.
Yes. Guys, that's really good. And I'm struck too by, you know, the way we started our podcast was by going through our missional theology axioms, just these statements about the assumptions about reality that Jesus seems to have made. And I'm struck by the fact that those have all come out of this journey for us of through the desert, you know, this journey of realizing, okay, there has to be a new way of kind of orienting ourselves. And so really those seven statements, those seven axioms are statements of reorientation that have helped to guide us through that process, right? And so I just want to reassert them and affirm them. So if you're listening to this and you realize, man, that's what's going on for me. I'm in the midst of disorientation, or maybe you're starting to make a turn towards reorientation. I want to encourage you, number one, that God is present and at work in that situation. It's not something that you need to fix so that God can get busy. It's something that God is already present in. He's already at work in that situation. I want to encourage you, number two, that God is just like Jesus, and in Him is no unchristlikeness at all. And so the God who looks like Jesus is with you in the midst of this. This God who is present and at work and who looks like Jesus, number three, meets you right where you really are. He's so real that that's where He meets you. He doesn't meet you where you should be or where you want to be, but right where you are. God cares more about all of this than you do. You're not having to convince Him to help you. He's with you. He cares about your reorientation, your life, way more than you do. Everything that God does through you, he's going to do in you as well. And so part of this work is not like getting you fixed up so you can get back to work, but this is the work of God in your life. And so as Willard said, what God gets out of your life is the person you become. And so going through these journeys is necessary for you to become the person that God's calling you to be. So keep going. Number six, the goal of all of this stuff is divine union. It's not that you would get better morally behaved or that you would know some more intellectual things that you can say to people. It's that you would become more and more one with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And finally, you learn all of this. You learn love. You learn this through embodied participation. So I just want to encourage you to keep moving, keep going, keep taking the next step. Trust that God is with you. And if you need any help or if you have any questions, we'd love to chat with you. You can email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. As Ben said earlier, we'd love to be your friends and be able to journey with you. It would be our honor to be able to come alongside in any way that we can. All right, guys, any last words?
I would just say what you just repeated, those axioms are such good news, Ben. I mean, it's good news for me today. It was good news for me when I was in Egypt, and it's good news for me in the desert, right? It's good news in all of those spaces. And the good news is what gets wounded in Egypt gets healed in the Promised Land. So I'm struck by the passage of Jacob wrestling with God. And sometimes when we're in the middle of that desert season or in the middle of disorientation or deconstructionism, or we're the ones who just got fired, or we're the ones who are frustrated with our church, sometimes the best news is just hang on until morning comes. Yeah. Right? The wrestling with God is going to happen within all of us. And sometimes the best possible thing we can do is hold on and say, I just need to hold on. Will you still bless me? Will you still bless me? So God is present and at work, and that's incredibly good news.
Amen. Amen. It certainly is. Well, hey, Justin, thanks for sharing some of your story. Thanks for being on the podcast with us. I'd love to do this again sometime with you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Well, guys, don't forget Water to Wine Gathering. It's watertowinegathering.com. You can register there. We'll be there present. And if you want to join us for that, we'd love to have you. We'll see you next time. Next episode on the podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you found it helpful, please let us know by leaving a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you review podcasts. You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com to ask a question, suggest a topic for future episodes. And join our online community for free at gravityleadership.com/join. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful throughout the week. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.